Chapter 6. But when at last I met Charles Strickland, it was under circumstances which allowed me to do no more than just make his acquaintance. One morning Mrs. Strickland sent me round a note to say that she was giving a dinner party that evening, and one of her guests had failed her. She asked me to stop the gap. She wrote, "It's only decent to warn you that you will be bored to extinction. It was a thoroughly dull party from the beginning, but if you will come, I shall be uncommonly grateful, and you and I can have a little chat by ourselves." It was only neighbourly to accept. When Mrs. Strickland introduced me to her husband, he gave me a rather indifferent hand to shake. Turning to him gaily, she attempted a small jest. I asked him to show him that I really had a husband. I think he was beginning to doubt it. Strickland gave the polite little laugh with which people acknowledge a facetiousness in which they see nothing funny, but did not speak. New arrivals claimed my host's attentions, and I was left to myself. When at last we were all assembled, waiting for dinner to be announced, I reflected while I chatted with the woman I'd been asked to take in that civilized man practices a strange ingenuity in wasting on tedious exercises the brief span of his life. It was the kind of party which makes you wonder why the hostess has troubled to bid her guests, and why the guests have troubled to come. There were 10 people. They met with indifference and would part with relief. It was, of course, a purely social function. The Stricklands owed dinners to a number of persons whom they took no interest in, and so had asked them. These persons had accepted. Why? To avoid the tedium of dining tête-à-tête, to give their servants a rest, because there was no reason to refuse, because they were owed a dinner. The dining room was inconveniently crowded. There was a KC and his wife, a government official and his wife, Mrs. Strickland's sister and her husband, Colonel MacAndrew, and the wife of a Member of Parliament. It was because the Member of Parliament found that he could not leave the house that I had been invited. The respectability of the party was portentous. The women were too nice to be well-dressed, and too sure of their position to be amusing. The men were solid. There was about all of them an air of well-satisfied prosperity.